is Amber Achluck and I'm a research associate at the University of Cambridge. Today I will be interviewing Professor Declan Murphy, who is based at the Institute for Psychiatry, Psychology and Neuroscience at King's College London. Welcome Declan, and thank you very much for joining the ECNP podcast.
No problem. Thank you, Amber.
Today we'll be talking about AIMSA Trials, which is the largest EU-funded project on autism research. You coordinate AIMSA Trials together with the pharmaceutical company Roche, who are the industry lead on the project. Would you be able to explain what AIMSA Trials is?
Yeah, it's actually quite complex, but I'll try and put it together as best I can. So our overall aim is to try and develop biomarkers. I'll explain what those are in a second. For autism, and by that way to better target any potential treatments that we may be able to develop, and whether that treatment is a educational intervention, whether it be a social intervention, or whether it be psychological or pharmaceutical. So the idea there is that, you know, we're all individuals, right? But currently, if you are an autistic person and you want to have a treatment, doesn't matter what that treatment is for, whether it's for core symptoms of autism or whether it's for associated symptoms that occur quite commonly in autistic individuals, for example, depression or anxiety or OCD or whatever, everyone gets the same treatment, right? But we know that everyone's an individual and we need to be able to better target treatments to individuals that are more likely to respond to that approach. And so we need to better define who those individuals are that may respond to a particular type of intervention. And to do that, we're using a variety of approaches. We're looking at the way people think, their thinking styles, their symptom profiles. We're also looking at some of the basic biology that's present in individuals with autism. So for example, EEG measures or brain imaging measures or genetics, to see whether we're able to identify much more coherent subgroups of individuals who are more likely to respond.
Great, that's very helpful. Thank you. So this is not the first autism research project that you are coordinating. Could you give a brief background about how AIMSA Trials came about?
Yeah, AIMSA Trials came about as a follow-on, really, from another project called EU AIMS. You can see my lack of imagination in titles, right? So what EU AIMS did was essentially what I've just told you about, trying to develop more individualized approaches. But the research that we were carrying out there was predominantly within individuals who are aged 6 and up. Although we did have some work within infants, we didn't have work within individuals between the ages of 3 and 6. And we also weren't going earlier to try and understand, well, what's happening during pregnancy, which might be impacting on individuals in terms of their pathways going forward. So are we able to discover things going on within pregnancy? So, for example, environmental exposures, which allow us to understand why it is that some individuals with autism also, for example, might experience epilepsy, whereas other individuals with autism may not experience epilepsy. So there were these age groups that we weren't including in our last work. The other thing that we weren't doing was taking treatments to the clinic. And in this AIMS to Trials, what we've done is we've established an international network, both across the EU, but also links to North America, in which we run clinical trials. And those clinical trials, importantly, now test some of the biomarkers that we are finding preliminary evidence may have utility. So long story short, different populations, extending the populations, not just different populations, but also making sure that we actually take our treatments into the clinic. I think the other big difference this time in this project is much more involvement of autistic individuals than occurred within EU AIMS. I mean, you know, we never do things well enough, right? We can always do better. And I think that within EU AIMS, we could have done better at involving individuals from the autistic community. And we're trying certainly to do that as best we can with the names Two Trials. I don't think we're doing it perfectly yet by any means, but I think we're making significant progress in that regard. I think the other thing that's different also is that in Aims Two Trials, we've now got really fabulous links, not just with industry, but also with different charities and other funding organisations. So now charities are much more involved in what we do and helping us set our priorities and putting our work into context and ensuring that what we do meets the needs of individuals with autism and also where relevant, their families and or carers. So tremendous partnerships, for example, with Autistica, with the Simons Foundation and for autism research in the States, and also with Autism Speaks and with Autism Europe. Really, they've been absolutely invaluable to our thinking.
That's great. That really shows that breadth of different organizations that are really involved in such a big consortium. Your research vision has contributed significantly to address the challenges in offering personalized approaches for autistic people. What are you aiming to achieve with AIMS Trials? And how does it sort of go beyond just what you were previously mentioning before?
I think what we're aiming to achieve is really to change the way that we think about research with autistic individuals and other individuals too. It's that to move away from just comparing, say, all individuals with autism to a neurotypical population, to move away from what we call group mean differences, but to ask much more fundamental questions about, are we able to identify subgroups of individuals within the autistic community who are most likely to respond to this intervention? Or are we able to identify measures which allow us to work with autistic individuals and all their families and or clinical care providers to say, look, this biomarker suggests that this person is going to have a relatively good outcome. Let's just define that as, say, not developing epilepsy, or their social communication abilities improving over time. In contrast, then we may have a putative biomarker which says, well, look, this individual without an intervention doesn't look like they're going to be functioning as well as they could do, however it is we define functioning, and however else it is that individual wants to change their functioning or not. So that we would be able, we hope then, to concentrate resources on individuals who are more likely to respond than others, but also enable us to have conversations with autistic individuals and say, well, look, it doesn't look like this particular treatment approach is going to be good for you, you know, because you're actually going to do pretty well without this intervention. So do you really want to go down the route of having an intervention, or vice versa? I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's really not just providing sort of options for people that would help them best in the way they want to be helped, but also the option of, would you then like to continue with that particular approach?
Yeah, and it allows the individual to, and all their families, to make an informed choice. And it also allows us as clinicians, whether you be a medical, you know, practitioner or a psychologist or an educationalist, to have a much more informed conversation with the families and or, you know, their carers where relevant. I think also what it allows us to do is to identify treatments, effective treatments, quicker. So, for example, a lot of work has been done, led by our colleagues in Germany and in Spain, to try and identify what is it that is likely to help a clinical trial be successful. And they've carried out great work identifying what are the main drivers of the placebo response. So the placebo response is the thing that absolutely kills us in clinical trials. In other words, just by doing anything for you, it looks like you're going to, in terms of the measures we're using in the trial, you're going to get better. And so therefore, if we give you an active intervention, it's really unlikely that a clinical trial is going to show that it's effective because you've got such a high placebo response. So by driving down that placebo response, we're going to improve the outcome of clinical trials, we hope. But also it would be to think about how it is that we can include within clinical trials those people who are likely to respond to this intervention and not include those individuals who are not likely to respond to the intervention. And so therefore, you increase the likelihood of having a successful trial, and that therefore in future that a treatment approach could be used in that particular subgroup of individuals, as opposed to using what we call an all-comers approach. In other words, you throw the same treatment at absolutely everybody, no matter that they've got likely hugely divergent underpinning biologies and thinking patterns, etc. You know, why on earth would you think that you would get a positive result from that?
So this is really exciting, because you're not just looking at personalized approaches for autistic people, but really also looking at how to improve clinical trials for everyone and the approach to doing those.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other key issue, Albert, is that we're also looking at this across different ages, right? So it might be that a putative biomarker that's able to tell us, you know, you're going to have a relatively good outcome no matter what, or you're going to possibly have a good outcome to this particular intervention. It's only going to work in, say, adults but not children, or in children but not adults, or in those with intellectual disability but not those without intellectual disability. So it's also going to allow us, we hope at least, to look across the whole range of individuals with autism to ask, you know, who exactly is this useful for, if anybody? And you know, don't forget, at least in terms of my thinking, it's equally useful to find out something's not worthwhile as to be saying, well, it is worthwhile, because if it's not worthwhile, then we can save those resources, save people's time, and save individuals with autism from being exposed to interventions that they don't need and are likely not to be helpful.
Would you be able to give an overview of the current status of the AIMSA Trials project?
Yeah, the AIMSA Trials project, just like any other project in these times within COVID, has been markedly impacted by COVID, because we haven't been able to bring individuals in for face-to-face testing. But nonetheless, at least in many countries, that's not the case within all countries. But nonetheless, we've continued to make really great progress, and people working really, really hard despite the difficulties. Celso Arango in Spain has launched the clinical trials network, and that within Spain is doing fantastically well in terms of recruitment to that study. We've also been able, bizarrely, through COVID, been able to undertake work led by Beth Oakley here and involving you too, Amber, looking at, you know, what are the barriers to individuals with autism in terms of accessing treatment for their COVID-related symptoms. And we found huge variations across Europe, most of which goes against human rights and goes against a lot of law. So what we've been able to demonstrate is, through this work that you and Beth have led, the actual practical barriers that individuals with autism have to accessing physical health care. And as I said, in so many countries, how that's actually illegal. And we're now working with policymakers to try and change that. And I think that's, well, from my vision at least, that's particularly impactful in a meaningful way. And last, that might not seem as meaningful to some individuals in the autistic community, and more meaningful to those within the scientific community, but frankly, I think it's meaningful for both, is that our colleagues in basic science, led by Peter Scheifler in Switzerland and our colleagues here in London, have discovered new potential underpinning biological mechanisms that may present new treatment targets. And that's hugely innovative, and that gives us a way forward. That treatment target is not ready for taking it to humans now, but it is at such a stage whereby we can begin to carry out those first studies and take those studies from the basic cellular work through to the animal work, which is now done, and begin to say, okay, now how do we get that into humans? And that's tremendously exciting.
That sounds really good. And yes, you're completely right. The COVID-19 project, policy project that we did, also included autistic people as co-authors, which was extremely helpful in making sure that the points that we addressed were also relevant for the autism community.
Yeah. I think the thing I didn't mention, Amber, just because there's so many of my colleagues doing such amazing things, you know, you forget just quite how fantastic they are. But, you know, what we've also been able to successfully do during these difficult times is to, by working with our colleagues in the United States and with our colleagues in industry, particularly our colleagues in Roche in this example, we've been able to have some of our early work for biomarkers taken into the biomarker development program by the FDA in the United States and receive letters of support from the European Medicines Agency, which is the first time that that's happened within the autism field. And we've also impacted upon the European Medicines Agency advice on how to run clinical trials. So, for example, they widely cite our work in terms of how we should now think about running clinical trials and how we should change things. So, you know, I think that's really quite an impact.
Definitely. That sounds amazing. And it really shows like the breadth of the and depth of the impact that we can have with such big projects. So the AIMS to Trials project has two more years left. What are you hoping to achieve during this time?
Well, goodness me, Amber, first thing to do is to deliver, right? Which is a real challenge in these current times. But that's what we're going to achieve is to actually deliver what we need to deliver, which is to complete all our studies. But also potentially to go down some really interesting pathways that perhaps weren't within our original submission, but have led us to think in new ways. So, for example, working to better understand what's happening with individuals who have autism and who also have epilepsy. What's really underpinning that, and are we able to identify differences in brain development and brain biology which are meaningful, which might allow us to have new therapeutic targets and or to understand what we maybe could do earlier on to change that pathway so that individual in future wouldn't go on to develop epilepsy. So the epilepsy work is really coming through fabulously, as is the fetal and neonatal work. So firstly, people, I hope they don't take the wrong angle here. That is that our work within fetuses is absolutely not about identifying biomarkers, so therefore these individuals could be terminated or anything like that. But the work is all about, can we understand how differences, for example, in the environment impact on brain development of individuals who may go on to develop autism? And if so, is there anything that we can begin to understand that we could intervene on at a population level to try and improve outcomes for individuals and fetuses?
So this is still about maintaining that neurodiversity.
Correct.
But just providing better outcomes in general for everyone.
Exactly right.
So what do you hope the impact of AIMS of Trials will be on the future of autism and generally clinical research?
I think the impact is going to be numerous, but if you ask me to pick the main ones, it would be A, better involvement of autistic individuals in research, 2, better addressing the priorities of autistic individuals, their carers, and clinicians who work with individuals with autism and or educators, so that we come up with much more personalized treatment approaches and which are effective. Another great outcome would be to allow us to run better trials, and that our work would inform not just trials within individuals with autism, but individuals with other conditions that may also want to be part of clinical trials, that our work may help impact on other individuals too. And I think that would be really tremendous. And I think the other thing that would be a tremendous impact would be to allow us to establish biobanks, which would be accessible internationally, and which would allow much faster progress to be made by sharing data. Now, that brings challenges. It brings significant challenges around, for example, identification of individuals and making sure that no individuals can be identified, and making sure that we don't share data on individuals who don't want their data to be shared. So it's got significant technical and ethical challenges. But once, I think, if we can address those, our ability to work with people across the world so that they can interrogate our data, we can, in a way that preserves anonymity and doesn't carry out to ridiculous science. And likewise, we could work with those other groups to increase the number of individuals that we can study in a high quality way. That's really going to help us really push the field forward. And importantly, not just within the United Kingdom or Spain or across the EU, but in other countries as well, not just North America, but throughout the world. So, for example, at the minute, we're carrying out a lot of work within individuals within Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, within South Africa. And we're working with individuals who come from very deprived backgrounds to see how can we improve what's going on for these individuals within an African context. And so if we can take that forward, as we appear to be able to do at the moment, but really deliver on that, that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful impact.